Mike Golic Jr. is going to join us here in just a second, famously of ESPN. We'll talk about some college football here in just a second with Mike. He was on the Vols call a couple of weeks ago, and we'll have Miami and North Carolina State this weekend. I'll be curious to get his thoughts on what the hell is happening with the U right now. But where I want to kind of go first with Golic Jr. when he hops on is I'm curious to see from Mike's perspective how much different the conversation around Derrick Henry for MVP has been since Monday Night Football. Because the support for him publicly by high-profile people at the worldwide leader in sports, and not just on the worldwide leader in sports at ESPN, but across the sports media spectrum, it feels like it's as overwhelming this year or this week as it was at any point last season while he was putting together a 2,000 rushing yard campaign. So why don't we ask Mike Golic Jr., who joins us now, ESPN, of course. You can hear Canty and Golic later this afternoon as well. Boss man, how we living?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I am doing well. We're just still riding high on Derrick Henry's performance on Monday Night Football. The Titans fans are very much enjoying the attention that they're getting from the rest of the country. I want to start there, Mike, because the overwhelming support for Derrick as an MVP candidate, and I understand that we're just in week seven, but it seems to have totally taken a different kind of tenor on after Monday Night Football just because people saw him do it in a nationally televised game. Have you guys felt that at the network and just seeing the overwhelming support from people across the country watching football as opposed to just us here in Tennessee?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's how we make all our decisions. Like, if you do it in a primetime game, you know it counts for double, maybe even triple in some instances. Like, that's how this has always worked. I will say Derrick Henry also, I saw he just showed up to their presser today wearing a shirt with, I believe, a dog named Bammed on it from a local shelter who's trying to get adopted. So if you want to win, this is said true with advertising too, just put dogs in your ads. And everything Derrick Henry does right now is in some way, shape, or form an ad for his MVP candidacy. So that's a great note. But what the national games also do is, if we haven't necessarily been paying as much attention as we should to Derrick Henry, and part of that is, you know, the Titans season at this point, the division they play in, being largely trash. Like, now we pop open the hood and look underneath every once in a while. And I was watching NFL Live yesterday and heard Laura Rutledge say that Derrick Henry is averaging over 120 yards a game.
Oh, my God, I saw that
like
too.
35 games.
Oh, I fell out of my chair.
I couldn't believe it. And so the primetime games do serve that good of, all right, when they're spaced out accordingly, we go back and finally do the legwork on a team like Tennessee who still has plenty to play for. They play in a very bad division, so we expect them to win this thing, even as the Colts and them start to look a little more confident with Carson Wentz. But now we notice this and we get to stop and appreciate it because it really is unprecedented. A back with the kind of wear and tear that he has racked up already in his NFL career should not be able to exist at this size or any size, but here he is.
At Mike Golic Jr. is where you can follow him, of course, and see him across all of the ESPN platforms. He's on the NC State-Miami game this weekend as well. Mike, as somebody who, of course, played the offensive line position at Notre Dame, as somebody who has a unique appreciation for what goes down in the trenches, how has this kind of hit you, what Derrick is doing? Because I looked at Mina Kimes' Twitter feed yesterday, and she's just out here saying somebody like Derrick Henry shouldn't exist in today's game, and yet here he is, bigger, faster, stronger than a sport filled with giant, fast, strong, angry people. Does this kind of, I don't want to say change the way that people are evaluating football, because he seems to be one of one, but do you see that renewed appreciation for the running game because of Derrick?
Well, I think we also have to recognize, you're right, he is one of one. And I heard Marcus Spears on NFL Live yesterday. God, I am like a walking billboard for this show, but I love all the people involved, so it is what it is. He said, he goes, Derrick Henry made me realize I got too cute. I looked at modern football, and it made me forget what this is really about. Someone being able to put up the kind of production that Derrick Henry is at that position, like if it doesn't look the way that we've deemed modern running backs are supposed to look with all the receiving, all that stuff, then we somehow discount it. Derrick Henry is a one of one. I covered Derrick Henry's Heisman Trophy year at that ceremony. I got to interview him for ESPN Radio after he won, and I stared eye to eye with him. That should not happen. I should not stare eye to eye with a human being that I'm supposed to be blocking for, let alone then watch him run away from guys the way he has consistently since he got into the NFL. And so, yeah, I think it's renewed focus in a different way. Like, Tennessee can be a little more old school with their ground attack. The last time we saw something like this was the Vikings vintage Adrian Peterson coming off a knee injury. This is something akin to that. This is something very few, if any, other people will be able to do, so we probably need to appreciate it.
There's a video clip going around, Mike, of him, of Henry dapping up Jeff Simmons after that goal line stop on Monday Night Football, and they're the same damn size. Jeffrey Simmons is 6'4", 300 pounds. Derek's probably 250, but still 6'4". It looked like King Kong and Godzilla dapping up.
It is truly terrifying, and we had this argument the other day, and shame on me for not positing his name sooner. If you had to, and this is going around Twitter, create a football team entirely comprised of one player for all 11 spots on both sides of the ball, who would you pick? Aaron Donald obviously got thrown out there. I thought George Kittle was a compelling answer. And someone posed Derrick Henry, and I realized that's probably on the medal stand here. He is that terrifying.
It's been really, really fun to watch his career so far throughout the course of his time here in Tennessee. Mike Golic Jr., our guest here on 104.5 The Zone. You can catch him later this afternoon on Canty and Golic, 2 to 6 Central Time. And, of course, you could see him all over ESPN. So, Golic, I want to kind of look at the world of college football right now, because I know that you were on the call of Tennessee a couple of weeks ago with your guys' crew. The game against Ole Miss was, of course, a talking point nationally. A lot of national attention for the state of Tennessee this week, some good, some bad. What have you made of the progression of Tennessee under Josh Heupel? And particularly, what have you seen from this defense under Tim Banks? Because I think that's been the most surprising thing of all of it for us here locally.
Yeah, I think just that, the way it's been able to come together as quickly as it has, because you mentioned Tim Banks out there when we had our meetings with him and talked to him about this. One of the questions we asked was, do you have to coach defense differently opposite an offense that wants to go at the speed that Josh's does? And they gave all the right answers that you don't, you know, we're going to go out here and do what we do type thing, even for a defense that, hell, when we have them, was missing a major starter at every level and still managed to go out and have a dominant performance against South Carolina. I do think there is some ability that they have displayed, though, to withstand sudden change, because that's what you've got to do if your offense goes three and out quicker than expected, if they turn the ball over the way they had earlier in the season. And I think they deserve a ton of credit for that. The offense is going to get the billing, but Tim Banks' outfit has the unenviable task of being the dance partner with a group that, yes, when it's humming, like we've seen it hum some point this season, especially since Hendon Hooker took over, that's a different breed what you can do, and it helps mitigate some of the areas this team is still going to have to improve personnel-wise, but defensively off on the side of that here, that's a tough task, and they've made it look good so far.
Unclear whether Hendon Hooker will play at Alabama this weekend. God knows they could use him, and it may not make a difference either way. But Joe Milton, to end that game running out of bounds as time expired, Ooh. Is not the kind of look. I mean, what I don't want to bury him, right? Like, I don't want to bury him, Mike. But I just, the way that game ended like that, everybody in Knoxville, in Middle Tennessee, in East Tennessee, and West Tennessee just dropped their head into their hands and said, "What the hell is this?"
Yeah, it was a tough look, and you feel for Joe. Like, I understand why he got to start the season. Just an unbelievable collection of gifts and talent, but that lack of awareness there, in addition to some of the deep ball woes, is why you had to make the change here. And I applaud Joe for being ready at the end of what was a chaotic finish to that game, staying dialed in on the sideline, but clearly not enough in that moment there. Certainly one he's going to want to have back, but again, so much happened over the course of that game. It's one play, it's magnified because it's at the end, but we certainly won't bury the kid.
So they're at Alabama, at Kentucky, and hosting Georgia in their next three. It's going to be difficult for the University of Tennessee to kind of keep their head above water, no matter who the quarterback is. What Alabama did against Mississippi State was about the most predictable thing in the world for a Nick Saban team coming off a loss. But I want to kind of talk about what they are doing defensively Mike, because I don't know whether Josh Heupel's offense, regardless of the quarterback situation, is going to be able to exploit them the way that we might have thought a couple of weeks ago. But what is different about this Alabama defense this season, and how are they trying to make up for some of the issues that they've had?
Well, I think one thing, I would push back on the notion that whichever quarterback wasn't going to have issues here. The game changes a lot with Hendon Hooker under center or not. Like, what he's been able to do for the deep passing game, I think on the season, when I got to them against South Carolina, they had something like 7 plays of over 40 yards, and Hendon Hooker had accounted through the air for 4 of them. Like, since he came into the game, that deep passing element off of what Josh wants to do, low and slow near the line of scrimmage, all those wide receiver screens, is you got to be able to hit on some of those deep passes so every defensive back can't come up and play as aggressive as Alabama's going to in this game. And Joe Milton has not displayed an aptitude for that so far. That was the issue with him. We saw it really highlighted against Pitt when he struggled and was airmailing a lot of those deep throws. And so if you take that away, Alabama doesn't need an excuse to come up and play you tough. Like, with Battle and the rest of that secondary that looked like they had received the butt-chewing that Nick Saban laid out to them after Texas A&M, well, this last week against the Mississippi State offense that is very different. But the offense that's not all that different is Ole Miss. And the thing that thwarts a lot of these tempo attacks is exactly what Alabama, what Georgia, and these high-end SEC machines are built to do, which is, hey, we only got to put 4 or 5 guys near the line of scrimmage because we got 5 stars across the board who can handle their business. And then we are going to get up, we are going to play aggressive, and we are going to tackle you near the line of scrimmage. We're not going to let you hit these bubble screens to Velus Jones underneath and gain 10 yards because we're playing in a cushion. We're going to get up in your face. We're going to make life hard for you. And when they can control the box along with that, that's the recipe to undo everything that tempo is supposed to kind of make easier on an offense that talent-wise isn't at the same place yet that Alabama, Georgia, et cetera, are.
My producer, Luke, has just whispered into my ear, and fake injuries in the middle of your analysis there. You're the worst. This is just a bitter, miserable Tennessee fan the week after losing to Lane Kiffin. Get yourself together back there.
Hey, I love Lane Kiffin. Nothing about that.
All right, very good. Mike Golic Jr. here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Is there a player, is there a starter on the Georgia defense, Mike, that you wouldn't draft?
No.
Yeah.
I want all of them. They are Jordan Davis. I saw him in the game they played. I want to say it was against Arkansas. That was one of the big games that week. I forget if game day was there or not, but I remember just seeing them run onto the field. And Jordan Davis, who is the biggest scary man in the middle of a defense full of big scary men, ran out there wearing one of those like 60-pound weight room chains that you put on the end of a barbell. And he just wore it like a necklace, and it looked comfortable for him. He didn't look like he was really struggling under the weight of that thing. And when you look at the tone that he sets, you know, N'Kobe Dean, the middle of that defense, I've said to everyone, Georgia's not playing against anyone that's on the field. They're playing against an invisible standard that they hold up inside that meeting room. Where if you see someone gain 3 yards on that team, they're getting up MFing each other, cussing out, because their standard, no one should gain an inch on that defense. That's what made what Kentucky did last week was amazing. Scoring points in the second quarter, no one had done so far this season. Scoring multiple touchdowns against that defense, they deserve a medal for that, because that is the biggest, meanest group of the most disciplined players in college football right now. We're going to throw around all-time terms for this defense, and deservedly so, because they are playing a standard that very few of us will get to see before or after this, and it's special.
Mike Golic Jr. of ESPN, our guest here on 104.5 The Zone. Of course, you can see him on the call for the NC State Wolfpack at the Miami Hurricanes on ESPN2 Saturday night. How long did you know that Boone Goes the Dynamite was going to be Twitter gold, and why are you so much better at this than the rest of us?
I'm not going to lie to you. I that was one of those, and everyone out there, if you're not already doing this, try out your tweets in the group chat before you send them. Like, see how it goes over with some of your friends. Does it get a double tap? Does it just get the little, like, hard impression thing? Or do people actually textually respond to you in that situation? I trotted that one out. It did numbers in the group chat, and so I let it fly there and felt really good about it, as should everyone who is an App State fan, because I thought they were coming close to talking about this Miami team I'm getting ready to face. I thought App State earlier this season had a very legit chance to beat Miami going in. They almost pulled that off, and I understand they have a couple of suspect losses this season, but we saw, man, when Chase Bryce and that downfield passing attack got going, boy, oh, boy, did the mullet-wearing folks at Coastal get a different second half than they bargained for.
It was an incredible game to watch amongst a lot of fun sporting events that took place last night. You can hear more of Mike Golic Jr. this afternoon on Canty and Golic. Mike, we appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the football over the weekend, and we'll catch up again soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Mike Golic Jr., ESPN, kind enough to drop by the show. The world of college football is getting messy in a fun way, right? We're creeping closer towards the playoffs, and when the Vols go on their bye week next week, we'll do more of a state of the program. I know it's not quite the halfway point of their season next week, but given that they'll be off, I think we'd need to like take a 1,000-foot view at what Tennessee is right now and how much, depending on how you feel about it, how much you think they've exceeded your expectations, whether they're right on pace for where you thought they would be under Josh Heupel, and whether you think, I don't know how you could think they've underwhelmed, but maybe there are some people out there who expect them to be better than they are at this point. But when you look at the college football playoff, Georgia 1, Cincinnati 2, Oklahoma 3, Bama 4, Ohio State is sitting on the edge there. I had no idea Michigan was undefeated. I just found that out the other day.
So is Michigan State.
No, I know. But Michigan State, I think is just a tad more, like, I think Mel Tucker's done a great job there, but I think they're a tad more fraudulent as a top 10 team than Michigan might be. But I was shocked to find out that Michigan was flat out undefeated.
Which is hilarious, because when Iowa loses, or when Penn State lost their first game, it was kind of, and then when Ohio State lost to Oregon, it's like, all right, well, that's it. No one in the Big Ten going to the playoff, right?
Oh, no, we buried.
Buried everybody in the Big Ten, and Michigan's over here like, hey, we've got all these national championships. We're undefeated. Everyone's like, just be quiet, Michigan.
They're a spot. Well, no, it's not be quiet, Michigan. It's be quiet, Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
We're tired of you. We're tired of you and your khaki pants. Get the hell out of here.
They haven't been mentioned once in the playoff conversation.
Haven't lost a game. They're behind Ohio State in the AP top 25 poll, and Ohio State's got a loss on the year.
Because they're going to lose to Ohio State.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, guaranteed.
So wait, we're just dismissing Michigan outright. You can't do it until we see you do it. And even then, I'm not going to think that Michigan can do it. Poor Jim Harbaugh. It's the end of the show. What the hell? Polls next.